this mindset is exactly at the heart of everything that we do. Because the idea that someone would stay at a job because they feel like they have to, even though they hate every day, even though they cannot stand to be there. And we see it and we hear it all the time. People who are miserable, who feel like they cannot stand where they're at. And I think the beginning of that is the school system. The beginning of that is kids who go to school, and for whatever reason, some kids go to school and are fine and are happy. And our son right now, Gowan, is in the school system and he's happy. He likes it there.
Yeah.
And as long as that's true, that's great. But when it becomes problematic, when it becomes ugly, when it becomes a nightmare every day for them to be there.
When the magic goes away. And that's not to say that, you need to have magic every day at work.
No, because sometimes you do have to buckle down and do things that you just don't want to do.
Yeah, and that's okay. But when the life gets stomped out of you, that's the point in time when you should start asking, is this what I'm for? Is this what my life should look like? I'm stuck.
I'm stuck.
Louder.
I'm stuck!
Shh! Someone's gonna come in the office and try to rescue
that was,
you.
In the, louder. In the middle, Malcolm, in the middle. Yeah. Do it again. In the middle.
I'm stuck.
No, that's not the middle.
Do the wasabi girl.
Oh. Oh.
I'm stuck.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
That's different.
It's like you're stuck on the ground.
True. Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason.
And now Cadence.
And Dakota.
Don't bogart the mic.
A podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more, unless you work here at Arcade, in which case we're trying to convince everyone to love it just a little bit less.
Yeah, love it less.
Just settle down a little.
It's getting crowded in here.
It's true. So, Cadence is here.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Now, during the day. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that came to be and how that relates to what we do. So, story time with Arcade. 2 weeks ago, it was before spring break, we got a letter from the school. So, Cadence had already been having some struggles with the administration at the school, and we've been working through that. And I got a letter from Cadence's teacher telling me that her behavior was a problem in the class, and that she was not getting credit for certain assignments that she had turned in because she had not respected the assignment.
But she turned them in.
She turned them in. And I'm going to go ahead and let Cadence read you the papers that she turned in.
March 29th, 2019. In class write. In Fahrenheit 451, the family dynamic has changed. How do families function in this society? Is that a positive or negative relationship for people? How does the family affect each of these characters, Montag, Clarice, and Mildred? Be sure to use specific examples from the text to support your answer. So that's a prompt. I answered with, welcome to my TED Talk. Today I will be listing three reasons why I hate this class and how it can be improved. Firstly, the worksheets are boring as all hell. It's not asking about the purpose or meaning behind the words that were written. It's did you finish the reading, which is easy as all hell to get past. This is an honors class. We should be writing reports or talking about the real meaning behind the books. We should have Socratic seminars where we talk about themes and how they apply to the books as well as real life, not just worksheets about it. Second, the way we learn about the books and fill out worksheets about them makes me hate reading. Why don't we talk about the books? We just have to do stupid, dumb worksheets that mean nothing further in our lives. The meaning of the book is what should stick with you, not what color the main character's pants were in chapter 3. Third, the vocab quizzes are so easy. I literally don't even have to study at all. Can we talk about world news or something meaningful instead? Cadence. P.S. You're a great teacher, and I mean no disrespect. I'm just bored. So that's the first note. And then the second note is April 2nd, 2019.
Cadence. What was the assignment?
Do you remember anything about what that assignment was? Because that one's not on the page.
I don't at all. I don't at all.
You didn't pay any attention.
No, I literally didn't. I don't care about this assignment, and for that matter, about this class. We write boring things about interesting books and the magic is ruined. Can we do something cool with the knowledge we've gained instead? This is the kicker. Like, WTF.
First of all, I guess, when I told you I'd gotten these papers from the school.
She called me.
Who's she?
Mom called me. Mary called me. And was like, oh, like, we need to have a talk. And I was like, I'm gonna get chewed out really hard, because, like, I had been basically such a jerk at this point, and I knew it. And I was at Meeples with Dakota, which is just a game store. And we were gonna
I don't think I'd say it's just a game store.
It's like a pretty great game store.
Yeah,
if you're in West Seattle, stop at the West Seattle Corporate Center. Let me make you a coffee. We'll chat.
Yeah.
And then we'll go over to Meeples and I'll play some games with you. It's great.
Yeah,
that's an open invitation from Dakota.
Watch for it.
So basically, we were at Meeples, and I got a call from Mary, and it was like, she was like, oh, we need to have a talk when you get to the office today. And I was like, I'm going to die. Like,
because she's died every time previously.
Yeah. So I get to the office.
We get to the office an hour and a half later.
Yeah. I've spent the whole hour and a half, like, just stressing out.
So that was I didn't necessarily want you to stress out.
I did.
That was on purpose.
Of course you did.
Because I wanted you to think about it.
Yeah.
I wanted you to have some answers ready for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So before we talk about what I did when we talked, what did you tell me about the situation? How were you feeling at that point?
I felt, like, trapped and, like, there's nothing I can do to, like, do anything about this. I actually had thought about leaving that class and transferring over to a different class, a different writing class. But the other teacher was worse, and I didn't get along with him either. And
I wonder why you don't get along with all your teachers.
There's kind of the standard that, like, everybody goes to high school, finishes high school, goes to college, all that. And, like, at this point, I didn't really think that there was another option, so I just thought I kind of had to just suffer through high school. But, like, and I think that kind of just made me, like, get kind of depressed and lose kind of my sense of self at that point.
So something that you told me was that you felt like you couldn't continue to exist there.
Yeah.
But there was no other choice.
Yeah.
And so you kept putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. And then it just led to kind of a snapping point.
So Jason and I looked at Cadence's grades in that class, because this is the future and you can see every assignment and every score. And
you can see everything.
Yeah, you can see everything. And we saw an interesting pattern, which was that half of Cadence's assignments, she had 0 points out of however many possible points because she chose not to do them. The other half, she had almost line for line, would have 100% on the assignment. So it was basically all 100s and zeros, which we felt painted a pretty clear picture.
And it wasn't out of 1 point. It was 20 out of 20.
20 out of 20. Yeah.
0 out of 20. 0 out of 20.
Yep.
10 out of 10. 0 out of 10.
So we felt like we had a real problem on our hands. So something else that is relevant to Cadence's story is that she was homeschooled for many years. She went to school when in 7th grade?
Yes.
She went to public school in 7th grade. So up until then, other than a few brief stints in the public school system, Cadence was homeschooled. And you won't be surprised if you've ever worked with us in any way, that we had kind of a different take on what education should look like.
Yeah.
It should be fun.
It should be fun. It should be interesting. It should be engaging.
Yeah.
All the things that we work with people every day to teach. And meanwhile, our own daughter is miserable because she's living in the world that we don't really ascribe to or believe in.
So the modern educational system was built, 200 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And built during the Industrial Revolution?
Mm-hmm. And built on the ideals of intellectual learning that came from the Enlightenment, which is really old by now.
Mm-hmm. So if you watch, and we'll refer to it.
Yep, I'm going to put it in the show notes.
Yep, for changing the educational paradigm. What's his name?
Sir Ken Robinson. Changing the educational paradigm.
Yeah, and what he talks about is the idea that the current educational system was built 200 years ago, and it was built more like a factory that kids are sorted by age, by born on date, as opposed to their aptitude or their preference or their learning style.
And it was built to focus on the idea that what makes intelligence is the ability to memorize facts, the ability to have read the classics, this very specific view of what a smart person looks like. Well, so Cadence, what was my feedback on your papers that you had written to your teacher?
My handwriting was garbage.
Yep. It was terrible.
It was really, really
bad. It was
worse
than mine.
That's
is that possible?
Beat. There was too much swearing, and it had good points.
So we won't walk into what happened when Cadence went back to school, but
it was not good.
Suffice to say that things spiraled down from there. Things got worse from there, and the administration, the response that we got, we just felt, didn't really take into account. So the way that I felt as a parent is that there were two things going on there. And one was the fact that Cadence's behavior was disrespectful and that was inappropriate.
Kind of a shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Was inappropriate. On the other hand, there was a deeper issue there that we felt like she was crying out for help. And we felt like the school was focused entirely on the disciplinary issue and had zero interest in the cry for help issue.
So the core of what we do is we focus on the idea that learning should be fun at Arcade, right? Learning should be engaging. Our true north is the lodestone and the idea that Arcade should be magnetic. We should be pulling people in because it's interesting, because it's fun. And we believe that we don't grow up, we just get bigger. Right, we're the same kids we were, so if we learn by doing or talking or seeing, those learning traits will stick with us forever.
Yep, absolutely. So we offered Cadence the opportunity to enroll in South Seattle Community College in the fall, and we offered her the chance to leave the high school for the rest of this school year and come and learn with us at Arcade.
So why are we talking about this?
Yeah.
What relevance does this possibly have?
This was not an answer that we came to immediately. We didn't immediately say, hey, why don't you just leave? We talked about it because that's how we manage like we parent, we parent like we manage, and we talk about important things before we make a decision. And as we talked about it, we came to realize kind of what we've been saying, which is that this mindset is exactly at the heart of everything that we do. Because the idea that someone would stay at a job because they feel like they have to, even though they hate every day, even though they cannot stand to be there, and we see it and we hear it all the time. People who are miserable, who feel like they cannot stand where they're at. And I think the beginning of that is the school system. The beginning of that is kids who go to school, and for whatever reason, some kids go to school and are fine and are happy. And our son right now, Gowan, is in the school system and he's happy. He likes it there.
Yeah.
And as long as that's true, that's great. But when it becomes problematic, when it becomes ugly, when it becomes a nightmare every day for them to be there.
When the magic goes away. And that's not to say that, you need to have magic every day at work.
No, because sometimes you do have to buckle down and do things that you just don't want to do.
Yeah, and that's okay. But when the life gets stomped out of you, that's the point in time when you should start asking, is this what I'm for? Is this what my life should look like?
And something interesting that Caden said to us after she stopped going to school was that she started to realize little ways that her behavior had changed, where she realized that if she was going to continue to be there, she was going to have to compromise in little ways. And those little compromises started to add up. And the same thing happens as adults at work. So I watched my mom go to a job that made her unhappy for years and years and years.
Is it decades yet?
Yeah,
decades. It's decades.
Decades. That she's been unhappy and she's retiring on May 1st. And I see more life in her and more happiness in her now than I have seen in years.
My dad hated his job for 30 years, looking forward to the pension that he would get.
Yep.
And a year after he retired, the pension was negotiated down to 10%, 10 cents on the dollar.
Yep.
Because he suffered for 30 years for the company.
Yep. So too often I think we start that mindset as young, very young people, and then we carry it with us and we feel like we are stuck in the situation that we're in. And the thing that I told Cadence is you as an adult are never stuck unless you're in prison. If you're in prison,
you're pretty stuck.
So the point is, you're never stuck. And we so often fall into that prison mindset that we are stuck, that I couldn't possibly make as much money as I make, have the benefits I have. I can't move. I have to stay here.
Healthcare.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I need the healthcare. I can't leave.
Absolutely. And the truth is that we're never stuck. And I think that's a big part of the message that we try to spread. And that's really what this episode is about, is that you are never stuck. So to carry the analogy one step further, it was a day or two later after I told Cadence that you're never stuck unless you're in prison as an adult. And she was washing dishes. And she was joking, but she was complaining about washing dishes. And she said,
of course.
She said, I am stuck here with my family.
Doing dishes.
I can't move out.
Man.
Worst thing that could happen.
Dishes again.
All of the food that I was able to eat in the comfort of this not outside world.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to clean up after this.
What?
Right?
Oh.
You mean like take the dishes out of the living room?
Ew.
What? That's sick.
That's where they go. The living room.
Wow.
To die.
Where they live, you know?
I'm leaving. Again.
So that actually led to another conversation, because there is another reason that we get stuck, and it's a very different reason. And it's when we don't leave a workplace because it's like a family there.
Yeah.
So maybe there's no room for me to grow. Maybe I don't like what I do at my job, but at the same time, I know that they need me there. I know that they can't make it without me, that they would be lost without me. And so I stay for that reason. It's another reason we get stuck.
Yeah.
So the real question is, when you feel stuck at work, when you feel unhappy at work, the question that you need to ask yourself is this a prison or is this a family? Am I stuck because I don't think I am capable of getting another job? Or am I stuck because I care about the people there and I don't want to see what's going to happen to them if I leave them?
I don't want to leave them behind.
Well, so there are two very different ways to deal with feeling stuck based on why you're stuck.
Yeah.
So if you're stuck and you feel like it's because you can't do better, you can't get another job that's as good as this job, then I think the next question is to ask yourself, how can I change that reality? What can I do to improve what I have to offer the world so that I can get a better job?
Well, there are so many options out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're definitely seeing a generational shift where people are less willing to put up with disrespect.
Yep.
They're less willing to put up with a bad work environment, which there's the sentiment that millennials don't want to work, that young folks don't want to work hard. But I think the truth is that what we're seeing is a shift of opportunity that's out there, that they don't have to put up with it. And they realize that they don't have to put up with being treated poorly in an environment. They're recognizing more and more that they're not stuck in a prison, that they can leave, that there are choices, that they can move.
It's because either way, we're not going to be able to afford houses.
It's true.
It's true.
You don't have a retirement waiting for you.
There's no retirement.
Either way.
Might as well enjoy it now because there's no retirement.
Yeah. Yep. We had a potential client meeting, so a prospective client meeting. And when they heard that I had worked for more than one company in the same area, they regarded that as totally soulless or like a shogun, right?
Yeah. Well, so my dad has worked for the same company for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
30 years.
Yep.
And he would refer to himself as a company man. My dad is retired, but still working for that company.
Yeah. Because as a contractor.
As a contractor. So he considered himself a company man. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, in his generation, in his head, that was a thing you wanted to be. Mm-hmm. Saying you're not a company man was like saying you have no honor. Mm-hmm. If you're stuck and you can't leave because you feel like it's a family and you don't want to leave these people behind, then I think it's important to recognize that that's a positive thing. That's a positive aspect that those people matter to you. It's something that you can lean on. So then the question becomes, instead of saying, where can I find another job? How can I leave here? The question is, how can I help this company grow in a way that there'll be room for me where I need to be? Mm-hmm. When you hit the ceiling and there's nothing else for you to do, the question is, how can I run with something in a different direction that will make this company more so that I can be more?
Is there more tasks that people aren't doing? Is there a new market we could jump into?
Yeah.
Can we add service to what our company offers?
Mm-hmm. We can always find something entirely different that we could do, whether that's within our company where we work now, or whether that's in an entirely different industry. We know a really good friend of ours who was in insurance for many years, and I'm sure was very good at it because mm-hmm. he's very precise.
Oh, yeah.
And ooh. Richard.
Oh, nice.
And one day decided out of nowhere that he wanted to move into construction, that he liked the idea of building things and he liked the idea of seeing things take shape. And so he went back to school while he still worked at his old job and he changed his life. He started a new industry and it's never too late to do that.
We're sponsored by Richard today.
It's true.
But my philosophy is life is too short. All we know is that you get this one time, and every day that we're here, we don't know that we're going to be here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So if we hate our life today, what makes us think that it's going to be any different tomorrow unless we do something about it?
Mm-hmm. Change your life. Don't let your dreams be dreams.
This is actually sponsored by Don't Let Your Dreams Be Dreams.
Shia LaBeouf.
Why do you say it like that?
That's his name. Look at how it's spelled.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
LaBeouf.
LaBeouf. So we work every day with companies and we meet people who need help finding a way to like their job again.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of solutions for that when you are at the higher level of the company, when you are looking down at the people who work for you and looking at how they need help. There are a lot of ways that you can make that more interesting, make it more fun, make your company a place people will want to work again. But when you're in that seat and you feel like whoever it is at the top of the organization isn't doing that, isn't making those changes, isn't interested, then you have to take care of you and you are never stuck.
So one of our superpowers is trying to find out what everybody else's superpowers are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Trying to figure out what people are good at, what they're gifted at, and try to get them into those positions. So Cadence, we recognize that she was not getting the chance to use her superpowers, and she's here now at Arcade. And on day one of social media, posted a video that is blowing up right now, made people spit coffee out of their mouths.
It's true.
Right? Made people laugh out loud. And we'll post a link to it so everybody can see it.
A link.
A link. Ooh. A link to the future.
Spoiler alert.
Ooh.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Right? But the important part is that everybody needs to find the thing that lights you up. Everybody needs to find the thing that feels like pulling fire out of the sky. And if you haven't figured out what that is yet, that's okay. But it doesn't mean that you should stop looking.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So many times, and here's a plug, that many of our clients are looking for talented people. They're all looking for talented people. And we're not recruiters, we're not headhunters, but we know a lot of people and we understand the culture that they promote. So if anybody's looking to make a change, if anybody is looking to get out of a bad situation, to get out of prison, let us know, reach out, because we know a lot of people. We're not looking to profit. We're looking to help people and make a difference.
We're professional prison breakers. Is
that
the hashtag or the jetpack?
Dakota, you're the safe cracker.
I actually have the schematics to good company culture tattooed on my back.
Ooh.
Okay,
definitely damn. The safe cracker. All right, so if Dakota's the safe cracker, what are you? You're like the what's his name? You're like the Marky Mark, you know?
I don't want to be the Marky Mark.
You're like the one who gets the whole team together.
Okay.
Okay, okay. If it's not Marky Mark.
Danny Ocean?
Yeah, there we go. George Clooney.
He doesn't even like heists.
The clone? No, I want to be the professor.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, all right. I see it. You're the professor.
Yeah.
Speaking of.
El Profesor.
Speaking of House of Paper, Netflix.
Casa de Papel.
New season.
Soon.
No, it's like July.
June, right?
Is it June, July?
June, July.
So
yeah.
Good.
So if you haven't seen it, see it, and then you can see why Jason wants to be the professor. You're the inappropriate one who can always cause the distraction because you have social boundaries.
Yeah. Go up and assault a guard.
Well, who are you, Mary?
Yeah. Oh, come on, I'm the hacker.
The tech.
Duh.
We have to say it.
The techno nerd. Oh, everybody else doesn't know?
No, she hacked it out of their brains.
Oh.
It's true.
Wait.
I really want the mouse from the new Ocean's 8 movie with the pool ball in it. Yeah, that's what I want. It's like my mouse, but I don't have a pool ball. I want a pool ball.
Okay. So what's the jetpack?
We're not done.
Professional
yet.
Prison Breakers.
We're close.
Professional Prison Breakers.
Yeah.
It's our Is own heist it? Movie.
Break Ooh. Out of your own prison?
Arcade as heist movie.
Heist movie arcade.
And we can get movie posters?
Oh, yes.
Like that one client we really like?
Yes.
True.
Yeah. Okay. Arcade heist.
We're gonna heist everyone out of their bad jobs.
Yes. Here we go.
We're gonna replace it with good company culture.
It's true.
Pulling everyone out of their bad jobs.
Pull everyone out of their bad jobs and then like put them into like new places where they're gonna be happy.
So many good things coming out of this one.
I'm so ready.
Get ready. Ready for it, boys.
So anything else with regards to help? I'm stuck.
Help.
Do we need to link?
Help!
Do we need to link to the wasabi video? Yeah.
Which one?
The little girl. Like,
there's so many links, though. There are a lot of links.
There's a lot of links.
You know, you promise a lot of links, but we rarely deliver.
That's a good point.
It is.
So, you know what, though?
Nope.
While I was editing, editing last week's episode, mm-hmm. and I'm actually keeping track in the OneNote of all the links in that I said I would, because those I'm going to get called on if mm-hmm. I don't deliver, because they are Gowan's links to his professional mm-hmm. stuff.
Well, people need to pay him for court use.
It's true.
And they do.
You can find us at www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com.
You can find us on www.jarrettandjarretts.com.
We don't have that domain.
Oh, we will by the time this is done.
You want to buy the domain?
Watch for it.
All right. So, www.jarrettsandjarretts.
We're going to make him uncomfortable.
Well, Jarrett, if you don't want us to use your name.
Blink twice.
In the podcast. That's not creepy.
You can find us on Instagram at @arcade_wayfinding.
You can find us on Twitter at Arcade Wayfinders. You can find us on LinkedIn at Mary Sturgeon, Jason Sturgeon, Dakota Gates, and Caden Sturgeon.
I'm on Podcaster now.
What's Podcaster?
Podcaster. Look for it.
It's not a thing.
What was the ant social media?
No, it's spider social media.
No, it was Spinster.
Did you guys hear about my new Hairmet Society? It's about people who ride bicycles and motorcycles, and they have hair helmet stuff going on, and it's like a support group.
Is this like a Flight of the Conchords thing?
No. I am afraid of flying.
Unrelated.
I'm afraid of Conchord grapes.
You can find us on littledogs.com.
That's not a thing.
My handle's actually bigdog on littledogs.com.
Ooh.
Oh.
Nope.
Stay tuned for outtakes.
There's going to be a lot.
Kissed his
girlfriend.
No. He got, yeah. That's getting cut out anyway. I'm not letting you troll your brother on the podcast when he's not here.
No.
Can we get a third podcast that's just them trolling each other?
Yes.
That kind of is Coffee with My Mom.
Well, he's not always participating. We had a good one last week called Don't Bully Me.
Yeah, where we spilled all the tea.
About Cadence the bully.
I'm not a bully.
Could you stop bullying me?
Oh. So.
You can find. Sorry. Dakota can be quiet while he trolls. You have to be quiet.